Welcome, everybody, to the Depths of Motherhood podcast. This is a special season dedicated to the tribe of the mother. But also, I know any mothers listening will find this extremely valuable. I've created each episode to offer simple, digestible, and supportive information, which I hope will educate and inspire anyone who listens. So this is by popular demand. Please help us to educate and support the tribe holding the mother. Look forward to passionate and highly knowledgeable guests dedicated to reclaiming the essence of birth and embracing conscious parenting. Throughout our time together, our guests will serve as the guiding voices, illuminating the path towards a deeper understanding of preconception, pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. This is with the mother and the baby being the center of the exploration. In the show notes, you'll discover the link to Nourished Mother Package, which will offer many different resources to complement each episode. This is free for all members in the women's circle or £33 for everybody who just wants to purchase the package. A heartfelt thank you to our incredible guests and immense gratitude to my partner for supporting me on this creation. And finally, last but not least, special thank you to Araya, my daughter, for being the endless well of inspiration. Welcome everybody to the Depths of Motherhood podcast. I'm your host, Danielle. Today we welcome Chloe onto the show. Chloe is wildly passionate about the menstrual cycle, and she is a full spectrum fertility awareness educator and holistic reproductive health practitioner. She educates people from their first period to their last because she believes body literacy is for everyone at every age. She's charted her own cycle for 12 years and has 6 years experience teaching fertility awareness education to people who want to regain their sexual and reproductive sovereignty, become advocates for their own health, and live vibrant, healthy lives. She also loves vulva gazing and making menstrual blood face masks and taking photos of cervixes. And to me, that sounds like a brilliant way to pass the time. I've left Chloe's website and socials in the show notes so you can go and connect to her there. So today in this conversation, we are going deep in exploring the cervix. Chloe explains how we can locate our cervix and ways in which we can begin to interact with her and even look at her. She talks all about the role of the cervix and how it dances throughout the menstrual cycles. So the way that it feels changes, the way that is positioned changes. And also I ask about during pregnancy, what happens during pregnancy with the cervix and then into giving birth. We also go in to explore cervical mucus and ways in which it changes during our cycle and gives us the message whether we are fertile or not. And also how different health conditions, different health arisings can affect our cervical mucus and give us insights to what is happening within our body. And in the final question, I ask Chloe, what does she think about cervical examinations? So as you may know, we have the Nourished Mother package where I am leaving the videos for these podcasts in there so you can watch the videos, but also I'm giving a resource to complement the conversation. I am going to give access to the meditation that we did to return to cervix. And right at the very end of the conversation, Chloe starts to talk about the connection between the vagus nerve and the cervix, and this is what we go into in the video that I will be sharing in the Nourished Mother package. We've actually just welcomed 3 new women into the Women's Circle membership who are preparing their bodies to conceive. So they're following this podcast and also they're coming into the Women's Circle where we have weekly live gatherings every Sunday. So we have a pre-exploration which I send out during the week. And then on Sunday we come together for meditation and to share our stories. Also, you can find the free Woman Medicine magazine in the show notes where it is filled with ritual ideas, recipes, topics for exploration to get to know ourselves more deeply. So that is free. You can enjoy that over a cup of tea or coffee or cacao, whatever your thing is. Before we start this conversation, let us drop into our body. Notice how you are positioned in your body right now and see if you can soften and make some space so that you can come to this moment and feel comfortable. And let's bring our awareness right down to the base of the spine and starting to take 3 deep breaths that move to the base of the spine. And as you exhale, softening and feeling that grounding through the legs. Inhaling to the base of the spine and exhale to soften. Thank you so much for being here, for supporting this podcast, for being on this journey of curiosity with me. I hope that this episode serves you. And if you have any questions, if you have any insights, then please reach out. I really am loving getting to know you all. Thank you so much. Welcome, everybody. Today, Chloe joins us on the show. Welcome, Chloe.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, me too. I'm really looking forward to this conversation to talk all about cervix. I would love for you to share with our listeners, how did you get to do the work that you do? Because I know it's not just about cervix. Like your main, if you went to Chloe's Instagram right now, it says your favorite fertility awareness educator. So tell me about that. How did you get to doing this work?
That's me. I always tell people that I started for birth control and I stayed for body literacy. So it was way back in my early 20s. I was looking for a hormone-free contraception. And that's when I discovered, it's like, how do you like your hormones? In the pill, in a patch, in an IUD? And I thought, for crying out loud, there's got to be another way. And that's when I discovered the fertility awareness method, which is a method of contraception where you pay attention to your daily signs of fertility, including your cervical mucus, your basal body temperature, and your cervical position. And you use this information to know when you're fertile and when you're not. This is fantastic. Because if you don't want to get pregnant, you know when to keep sperm out of your body. And if you do want to get pregnant, then you know when to optimize your chances of conception and get sperm into your body. So with the work of fertility awareness, a lot of it has to do with the cervix, right? We talk about cervical mucus, we talk about cervical position. And it was actually years and years after I was doing this work of helping people confidently and effectively prevent pregnancy without hormonal birth control, helping people understand their health and their self better, helping people to conceive, all of these things, I found myself in a gynecologist's office, just like a standard checkup. And I was telling the nurse who was doing my exam that I was a fertility awareness educator. So as she has the speculum in and she's looking at my cervix, she asks me, well, have you ever seen your cervix? Second? Oh, how have I never seen my cervix before? Like, you know, and I think about all of the times I talk about cervical mucus and the cervix. And I thought about all of the doctors who have touched or seen my cervix before. I thought about all the partners that have interacted with my cervix. Like, and yeah, I've never seen it. And so it was just with so much delight that she just lifts up a hand mirror. And first of all, this was a whole other experience, was even just sitting up with a speculum in. I'm like, wait, this isn't like a scary thing. But I sat up comfortably, still with my speculum in. She shone the flashlight. She had a hand mirror up and staring back at me, this beautiful, wet, pink little donut, I cried. It was just so magical. And then that really started a path for me to just, like, now I'm like the cervix queen. I just love talking about the cervix. I love teaching other people about their cervix again, whether it's through my fertility awareness programs or through my cervix portrait party. So I actually host in-person and online parties for people to use speculums and hand mirrors to see their own cervix. So yeah, it's been a ride.
So beautiful. It makes me emotional hearing your story. Like, it's similar for me too. When I first started to connect with my cervix, I worked through meditation to feel, to bring awareness. And I noticed that I had no connection with her at all, that she was like hiding away, that she didn't want to be felt or seen, or so I thought. And so through different methods of actually being able to look at her, to see her change, to feel her, or to kind of like allow me to touch her, because it took a long time. It was quite the journey to be able to touch her before she felt comfortable and it didn't feel like it was painful. Because I had a lot of trauma, like I had a lot of stuff held around this area. And so, yeah, like I felt so many emotions as I was able to connect more deeply to my body. So I love this topic so, so much, because it was a real bridge for me for understanding my body more deeply and understanding how my body actually had its own
kind of resistance and boundaries with me. I had to be gentle and soft. So I love for you to share, like, what is the cervix? Where can we find her? Because it is one when I talk to even my friends now, and when I speak to, so when I first started talking to my partner about this, he didn't know where it was, what it was, and what its role was. So if we start there, and then we can dive a little deeper with this conversation.
Absolutely. So start with a little anatomy lesson. I'm going to stand up. Anyone who's watching or listening can also just do this while they're sitting. But first, you want to go ahead and find your belly button. And you put your thumbs together at your belly button. And then put your fingers down so that it creates like an upside down triangle. Your pointer and your middle finger, if you just press down there and just bring your awareness these few inches right below your belly button, that's where you'll find your uterus. You can go ahead and, yeah, give it a little bit of a rub, give it a little bit of attention and a little bit of love. Your uterus is the shape of an upside down pear. And the neck of the uterus is the cervix. So I actually have these like really gorgeous uterus models that someone made for me. So you have the uterus here at the top, and then the neck of the uterus, which the word cervix actually means neck in Latin, where we get cervical spine as well. So the cervix is the neck of the uterus. And you know, my different models, this one's pretty obvious to you here. Here's that cervix.
Wow, that's so beautiful. I just want to say for anyone who's not like seeing the video, they are like, what are they made of? They're like clay or something.
Yeah, they're, oh, I wish I could even tell you. They're gorgeous. She made me three. I have three different sizes to show different times in our reproductive lives.
Wow. Beautiful.
The cervix is like a cylinder. So it sticks out and it opens into the uterus. So it has two odds, an internal and an external odds. The internal odds opens into the uterus and the external odds opens inside the vagina. And in this way, it acts like a bit of a gate in between the vagina and the uterus. And you can actually feel your cervix. So if you insert your longest finger into the vagina, eventually you would feel like a little grape with a dimple on it. That's your cervix. That's where you'll find it.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And your pillar in the background, it looks also like a vulva or something. I don't know if it is, but it looks like one.
Yeah, of course, I have my vulva pillow in the back as well. I just have, my whole house is just like vulva, vagina, cervix paraphernalia.
I love it. Ours is the same. We carry around these like crocheted, I'm going to show you right now. Let me get my crocheted womb for you. So I show you this because my daughter is absolutely mad on these. Like she knows the names. She's like so impressed.
So sweet.
There was like a little, there was a mummy who knitted these and crocheted these in Peru. So we got the womb, we got the vulva, got a clitoris. And I remember like showing people things like, do you know what this is? My mom said, looks like testicles and an interesting shaped penis. I'm like, well, you're not far off. So that was a great conversation.
Absolutely. It's so right, important to know our anatomy, know our own bodies. Yeah.
Incredible, right? So when I found out that like the cervix, she dances around, like she moves, she changes position. So it's really interesting for me because I found at certain points in my cycle, when I was having sex, I found that his penis would be like knocking on the door, you know, and it would be painful for me. And I'm not saying it should be because I had a lot of stuff to work through. Like I mentioned before, I had a lot of trauma that I was working through. And it took me a long time to find the enjoyment and actually get to a point where I could experience what I would say is a cervical orgasm. Like I felt it come from that. And that for me was like full body orgasm. But I did notice through different points in my cycle that he would reach the point and touch it much more easily than at other times. So if you could like go into that movement.
Yeah, it absolutely moves throughout our cycle. And so one complete cycle being the first day of our menstruation and then the day before our next menstruation. And the reason why it moves is because of the changes in our hormones, estrogen and progesterone. So these are two sex hormones that come from our ovaries and play a massive role in our menstrual cycle and our reproductive system. So I actually also like, especially when I'm talking to, well, to anyone, but especially when I'm doing my period parties for the kids, I use a balloon to describe the cervix. And so if you do it to about the size of a pear, same thing. The uterus is the top of the balloon and the cervix is the bottom, right? So here's your uterus and here's the cervix. Well, what's actually moving in your body is the uterus. So the estrogen and progesterone change the uterus from almost like this horizontal state where it's almost lying on your bladder. And then as estrogen levels rise, the uterus changes to a more vertical plate. And this causes the cervix to move from pointing maybe backward towards your rectum to now it's pointing directly out of the vagina. And then after you ovulate, because estrogen causes ovulation and progesterone takes over, it returns the uterus back into a sleeping state with the cervix pointed backwards. So I use the acronym POT to describe the different changes of the cervix throughout the cycle. So P is position. So it's changes from being pointed to the back towards the rectum to being tilted directly out of the vagina. It can feel high and hard to reach, or it can feel low and easy to reach. It can feel O for open, so the Oz changes. It opens to release menstruation, closes again, and then opens again to release the cervical mucus, which is a whole other thing we can talk about. And then last is T for texture. So the texture of the cervix. So around the Oz, the texture changes. As estrogen levels rise, the texture is soft like our lips or our earlobe. And when we're infertile, this texture is hard like the tip of our nose. So POT, that's the changes.
Fascinating. Honestly, like my youngest self is like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. Like, wow, mm-hmm. I wish I knew this when I was younger. But I'm learning it all now. So you mentioned about like cervical mucus, and I think this is a really important one because, so I remember growing up and noticing I would have this mucus in my underwear, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, like maybe I've got an infection or maybe something's wrong with me. Like no one ever told me that there was this thing called cervical mucus and even what it was there for. So if you could get into that, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I can see your excitement.
Cervical mucus. I'm like, let me add it. Yeah. Okay. Cervical mucus, I also call the wonderful nectar of fertility. And I really relate to your story. I remember when I was a little girl, we teach what we need, right? I needed this information when I was little too. I remember being so embarrassed about the things that I would find in my underwear on my toilet paper, shoving my underwear to the bottom of the laundry basket so nobody would see what was like happening on my underwear. So it wasn't until, you know, in my early, even late 20s that I discovered that cervical mucus is a natural, normal, healthy part of, you know, having a vagina, having a cervix, having a menstrual cycle. So your cervix, another nickname I give it is the Hotel de la Sperms. And so this gate, right, the cervix between the vagina and the uterus, as it's changing, one of the ways it changes is it actually opens the Hotel de la Sperm, letting sperm come in, or sometimes it's closed. So when we're fertile, meaning our estrogen levels are rising and we're getting closer and closer to ovulation, which is the main event of the cycle when the egg leaves the ovary, the hotel actually opens. And it opens by releasing cervical mucus that lubricates the vagina and makes it change its pH from sperm-killing acidic to nice sperm-friendly alkaline pH. It also nourishes sperm that comes in. And then if the sperm get in, they can live there in the cervix for three to five days. So I think of it as like a little swim-up bar for the sperm. They got everything they need. So they need the cervical mucus to survive. The hotel is only open when the cervix is releasing the cervical mucus. After we ovulate and we return back to our infertile time, the hotel closes up. The cervical mucus changes from being this slip and slide welting mat to a plug that physically blocks sperm and other bacteria and pathogens and germs from getting inside. So the cervix, I always like to call it, it's like it's a treasure chest of cervical mucus always. But depending on which hormone is dominant, estrogen or progesterone, it changes the kind of mucus it makes. So when progesterone is high and it's plugged up, you don't see the cervical mucus on the toilet paper or on your underwear. But when you're in your fertile time, your cervical mucus can look like, can start looking like lotion, like white glue, lotion. It can look like glue paste. It can look clear, like raw egg white. So it changes in color and consistency. But a really important point here is that all cervical mucus is fertile, no matter what color it is or how far you can stretch it.
Oh, wow. That's great information. And is this a way also that you can tell if there is any hormonal imbalances as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So because estrogen is responsible for opening and releasing the cervical mucus and progesterone is responsible for closing it up, if you're in a state where your body has too much estrogen and or not enough progesterone, you might see that pattern come out in your cervical mucus. For example, you might see cervical mucus every single day, or you might confirm ovulation and know that you're in your infertile luteal phase of your cycle, but the cervical mucus doesn't dry out. So this might be a good indication that you're experiencing excess estrogen or progesterone deficiency.
Mm. Wow, that's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Well, let's go into pregnancy. So what happens to the cervix during pregnancy, and what is it, and the way that it like transforms during pregnancy, what is it doing? What is its role there?
So a fun fact, some of the earliest pregnancy signs is your cervix turning purple or bluish because of the increased venous flow, so the increased blood flow to the cervix. That's actually something that the same day I saw my cervix for the first time, the nurse had told me that sometimes she's in there with a speculum and she's like, oh, did you know that you were pregnant? Because of the coloration of the cervix. And as well, when we were talking about the changes and the T for texture. So if you think of the cervix as like a plum, then as we enter our fertile time, it softens. And then when we leave our fertile time and enter our infertile time, it hardens again. However, if you to conceive, it stays soft. So those are two unique changes of the cervix if we were to get pregnant. So if someone was checking their cervical position, so checking the openness, the texture, and the position, you would tell from the touch. This would be a sign of early pregnancy.
Wow. That's fascinating, isn't it? What?
And then the cervix, of course, creates essentially 9 months. Is 9 months of the luteal phase on some level, right? The hormone profile is a bit different. Our estrogen and progesterone get higher and higher and higher. But it is, in a sense, you're almost stuck in your luteal phase for 9 months, which is like a pregnancy is. So the progesterone, the high progesterone, keeps that cervix plugged up, which is really important because, you know, you can enter our bodies through our cervix. So we need to create a gate. We need to close that gate. We have a baby growing, so there's no pathogens or germs or anything getting inside. And then 9 months later, when, you know, everyone talks about the mucus plug, a lot of people, they're not aware of the mucus showing up when we're fertile, like month to month. However, lots of people have heard of your mucus plug open, right? Which is something very similar to seeing cervical mucus when we're fertile. So the mucus plug opens. And then, of course, the cervix goes through a whole journey of dilating and effacing, which this is just incredible. So first we know, of course, it dilates. So it goes from like being, you can like barely just touch the odds with your fingertip to being 10 centimeters, right, open. And then the effacing is the thinning of the cervix. So if you think of the cervix, remember how it's like a neck? So if you think of the cervix as like the length of a bottleneck, of like a bottle of wine. So it's the length of the neck. This would be at the very beginning. And then once it gets 100% effaced, it's about the thinness of a sheet of paper. So that really blows my mind. And that's how the thinning is what allows the dilation to occur. And yeah, wow. Just amazing how this little part of our body is, you know, it's such a magnificent change when we're in labor. Have you seen the video of the woman pushing a tennis ball out of a balloon?
No.
I really love this image. I don't have a tennis ball, or not tennis ball, excuse me, a ping pong ball. I don't have a ping pong ball to do this, demonstrate this, but she puts a ping pong ball into a balloon and then blows up the balloon a little bit. A lot, actually. And then starting at the top of the balloon, she squeezes the balloon and the ping pong ball slowly. First, it like kind of gets sucked into the cervix a little bit, right? And you think of the head pushing on the cervix, and the more contractions that are occurring at the top of the uterus, the more the neck of the balloon, the like tie of the balloon, is shortening, it's widening. And it's, you kind of feel like those, as those contractions are going, the ping pong ball is like slowly making its way out. And I really think it's like a really great visual.
I would love to see that, actually. If you find it, send it me on Instagram. I'll post it up.
Oh, I will.
That, for me, that's how I learn. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Is there anything else you want to add to what we were just talking about with pregnancy? Or, oh, I have a question.
Big shout out to our sponsor, Evolving Humans, who are the pioneers for energy healing. This practice that I was taught 4 years ago has been studied by researchers all around the world to provide evidence of the physiological effects of energy healing. And I'm not just saying this because it's a promotion, but I have used this practice every single day for 4 years. And personally, I've noticed the most impact in my emotional state. This energy practice taught me how to feel energy in my body and observe the sensations. The technique involves you using your hand and connecting to the energy field within your body. And with this gentle, loving awareness that you bring to the table, everything is seen and loved. The whole being comes into alignment. During the birth of my daughter, I tore, and the discomfort that I was experiencing with this tear started to ease up dramatically when I would use this technique. In the show notes, you'll find the link to Evolving Humans so that you can explore this healing technique, which is available through a course that you can join today.
So is there still, is there any cervical mucus that is released into the vaginal canal whilst pregnant?
Or so I would say the cervical mucus, vaginal cell slough, arousal fluid, seminal fluid. Right, these are all different kinds of fluids that come out of our bodies in different times. And some of them are hormone related, some of them are not. So, for example, someone might be experiencing arousal fluid or vaginal cell slough, and they confuse it with their cervical mucus. This is one of the skills you kind of have to really learn, how to differentiate from these different fluids, first of all. So that's like the first thing I would say. So don't be concerned if like you're seeing discharge or fluids and you're like, well, Chloe said you're not supposed to see this in your luteal veins. And, well, hold up. First of all, is this really cervical mucus or is this something else? And then not to mention, and I think that the cervix just has different reasons why sometimes it does release cervical mucus, like even when we're sick. So when we're sick and you have like all that mucus coming out of your nose, it's not uncommon to see it coming out of your vagina too, right?
Yeah.
I had that recently.
My friend messaged me. She was like, I have, like she had a cold, she was sick or whatever. And she said, I'm also feeling itchy, like my vagina is feeling itchy. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And I did a yoni steam, and actually it did shift things, but it just made me think about, if we think about how the mucus is reacting in other parts of our body, like I'm pretty sure it's going to be mirroring that down in like with our cervical mucus as well, or with any fluid, with whatever's happening, you know? So I'm glad that you brought that up, because it was one that has been coming through quite often of, as our body is healing, as our body is going through different symptoms, it being reflected through the mucus.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that. So for example, people who are just coming off of hormonal birth control, or people who had just taken the IUD out, right? Mm-hmm. There are common times when your cervix has kind of gone through the ringer a little bit. The hormonal birth control sucks all of the, you know, vitamins and minerals needed for the cervix to be happy and healthy. The IUD, I think about how to physically a string sitting through the Oz, like as like a little ladder for like all the germs to like climb up.
Oh, yeah.
And all the irritation that's occurring at the cervix. So when I work with people who are just off of hormonal birth control or just taking the IUD out, it's very typical to see either no cervical mucus at all or cervical mucus every single day, because the cervix is going through a healing process.
Yeah, it's like showing you, isn't it? It's like another way of the body like to communicate with you and whatever that means, I usually take it as, okay, let's slow down, let's rest. Like, how can I nourish my body? And there was one other thing that I noticed during pregnancy. So during my third trimester, I became very horny. And I think this is because of the blood flow, going down, preparing, getting ready for my baby to come. Because before that, I was not interested. And so, but what we noticed was when there was sperm, I was getting really sore, and he also got really sore as well. And I put this down to the pH, the difference, not having, you know, like you mentioned first about the cervical mucus changing pH for when it's inviting the sperm in to the hotel and when it's like, no, no, no. And I thought, I don't need no more sperm in there right now. I'm pregnant. And I felt like it was my body telling me, we don't need that. So let's get that out of here. I was wondering if you'd heard anything like that before, because I'd asked some of my friends and some of them had experienced it. And some of them were just like, I have no idea. I didn't want to have sex. So,
I love that you noticed that about yourself. And I feel like intuitively that sounds like a pretty good, that's a pretty good explanation for what was occurring. So if you think about it biologically, there is really no need for sperm in the sense that we're already pregnant. And at the same time, there's so many different experiences of pregnancy, right? And I think that's really the most beautiful thing, is just to kind of lean into whatever your experience is. And, you know, some people I know report being like having a high libido throughout their pregnancy. And some saw this hilarious reel on Instagram yesterday of a husband saying, here, I brought you a rose for every single time we had sex during your pregnancy. And she laughed and she's like, you mean no roses then? And he gives her a, you know, a bouquet of leaves. So it's everybody's experiences. It's going to be different and unique to them. So,
Totally. And I just wanted to throw that out there. Because it's just great to share stories. Like you said, everyone has different experiences, and to share stories and be like, oh yeah, I had that. And then it kind of takes out of this, there's something wrong, instead of going into this point of let's explore what might our body be telling us right now. And that for me is so fascinating, listening to the language of our body and getting to know that. So our last question, what do you think about cervical examinations? What's your take on that? Because I know there's mixed feelings, especially, social media is this massive hub now for getting all these ideas, all of them, bringing them to one place. And it can be what do I do? Do I have a cervical examination or do I not? And do I just listen to my body and trust? But what is your take on it?
Yeah, I just always want to remind people that they are the boss of their bodies. So they are, whether it's that they want to lean into their doctor's advice or whether they want to lean into their own intuition, that's totally up to you. And I wouldn't shame anyone for wanting that support or not wanting that support. Whether it's pap tests, whether it's cervical checks, whether it's the HPV vaccine or a LEAP procedure, I just could never claim to know somebody better than they know themselves or what they need. You know, I just couldn't. I think what's really important when it comes to these different kinds of examinations is just to get the full picture. Because unfortunately, what I do see that sucks is that, for example, somebody has a pap smear and there's some abnormal cells, and then they're told the only way to deal with this is with a LEAP procedure. And that's not true. There are different options. There are different things that you can try. There's escharotic therapy, for example. So I just really want people to be more informed about everything that they have, that they're offered, and that they can decide on for themselves. And that's just really how I feel about that. And especially when it comes to, for example, I used to be somebody who would get my pap smear every year. I just loved the clean bill of health. I just loved someone being like, yep, everything is fine. And the older I got and the more in tune I got with my own body, the more I realized I don't need that every year, and that I can do that, you know, every 5 years, and I feel totally fine for that for myself. So, right, it ebbs and flows and it changes. And also someone once said to me, and I really liked this, when you're trying to decide whether you want to go with a medical examination or a test, think about what would change for you if based on the results, right? And so if, for example, you're getting a pap smear done and you with positive for abnormal cells, for example, what would that information, how would that information inform on your next decision? And if it wouldn't change anything, if you're like, well, no, I mean, I would just to this day, oh my God, so sweet. Hello, welcome to the call. then if you would just focus on, you know, your food or your exercise, or your sleep or whatever, and you wouldn't want to be proceeding with any other medical route anyways, then yeah, just use that information, like use the decision of what will the information give me to help make your decision whether to move forward with that kind of test, for example. That was someone really wise told me that once, and I appreciated it. I think just the last thing that's really incredible about the cervix that everyone should know is that it has a direct connection to the brain through the vagus nerve. And that's a whole other conversation. That's a whole other episode that I just think is incredible. Vagus nerve, which is part of the parasympathetic nervous system, part of our like rest, digest, safe, calm nervous system, that it's the vagus nerve gets its name vagabond, meaning wanderer. So it wanders through our body, through our throat, our lungs, our diaphragm, our heart, our gut, and then terminates at the cervix. And so you can't touch your lungs, you can't touch your gut, but you can actually touch your cervix, and you can physically give your body like, hey, I'm safe, I love you, everything is fine, through cervical touch. And I just think that's incredible. And it's the same way in the sense that like it gets sent directly to the brain, but also what's happened up here gets sent directly down there as well. So when we are looking at cervical, you know, like cervical issues or cervical changes, right? Don't ever dismiss what's going on like emotionally and what's going on like in your environment, because your cervix is like that internal antennae. So it's giving out information, but also it's receiving information with this direct connection to the brain. And I think that's magnificent.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you added that. This is something that we've had. We do women's cycles, and it's almost a year ago now, we really went into connecting with our cervix and just like what she's connected to, and the ways that you can go through these deeper healings and receive information as well. One thing that I found wonderful was I could ask her questions, and just by, it took a long time for me to feel her, but when I could feel her respond to the questions, I knew what was good for my body. I know what would serve me just by the sensation that she would give me. And it's, when I first heard about this, I was like that's really far out, but it's a lived in experience again. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm really glad that we brought that into the conversation for people to explore more deeply. I would love to offer you this space right now to share where we can find you.
Thank you. My name, I'm the only Chloe Scurlock in the whole world. So you can head over to my website, is chloescurlock.com. I love to play on Instagram. That's where I love to share most of my content. So you can find me at Chloe Scurlock. And I love these conversations. So if anybody wants to talk more about their cervix, their cervical health, fertility awareness, I offer free 30-minute online consultations, so you can find that over on my website.
Amazing, Chloe. And you're the only one. You're the only one.
I'm the only one. I know, so it's super easy to find me. So just do Google search away.
I will put all your information in the show notes, and I'm just really grateful that we got to sit and have this conversation. It's super inspiring for me. And I'm just like so happy to have this time with you, to be inspired by you. And thank you for your patience with my daughter. Everyone listening to this podcast knows that she comes in and out all of the time. She'll be hosting these episodes soon. I'm sure of it.
Oh, sweet. It's so reciprocated. Thank you so much for having me and for inviting this conversation.
Yes, we did it.